If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of St. John, chapter 15. St. John, chapter 15. Stand with us for the reading of the Word of God. Verse 10. St. John 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Then, if you will, turn with me to chapter 16 and verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Then in the next chapter, in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning on the help of the Lord, on the joy of Jesus. It's very evident to me from the Scriptures that Jesus wants a joyful people. Did you get that impression from those Scriptures? That Jesus wants a joyful people? I mean, that's the teaching, clear teaching of the Scriptures, that Jesus did not come to wreck our lives or to make us sad individuals, but He came to give to us the joy of the Lord. This is the inheritance that Jesus gives to His people. He said, I'm going to give you my joy. Same joy that Jesus experienced. He said, I'm going to give that joy to you. I'm going to make you the inheritors of my joy, so that we would have the same wonderful joy that Jesus Himself had while He was here on this earth. And so the Lord intends for His people to be a joyful people. Now there's a reason for that, many reasons for that, but there's a good reason for that, because a joyful Christian is a good advertisement for Christ. You know, somebody that's so sad and downhearted and depressed in life and don't have the joy of the Lord, not a very good reason for anybody to want to be saved, is it? But when the joy of the Lord is in our heart and in our life, when we have received what Christ came to give to us, then others can see the joy of the Lord in our life, and we become salt of the earth and lie to the world, so that they see something in us that the world never has been able to give to them. Jesus gives us something that the world cannot give. And one thing that we have that the world don't have is our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said to the disciples when they came back rejoicing because the devils were subject to them, He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's something to really be glad about. If you've been saved by the grace of God, born again to the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you, you've got to be born again. Jesus said that. You've got to be born again if you see the kingdom of heaven. Y'all ever heard of Bill O'Reilly? Has the, what do you call that? Huh? Yeah. What's his name, his thing? Huh? Factor, the Factor. He has a program on the radio, Bill O'Reilly. And I in the car the other day, and I turned the radio on, he was on. And they were, of all things, they were discussing being born again. And he was saying these crackheads, these nuts that go around saying folks have got to be born again to go to heaven. He just thought they're fanatics, you know. And so this guy called in and said, Bill, you're wrong. And he said, the Scriptures say you got to be born again. He said, I don't care what the Scriptures say, he said. I got thousands of years of church history on my side, theology on my side. And I don't care what the scriptures say. Well, I care what the scriptures say. That's the final authority. And I really care what Jesus said, because Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was talking to a religious man, talking to Nicodemus. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But when a man's been born again, he's part of the kingdom of God. His name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. He's got something to rejoice about him. I'm telling you, brother, if you're saved this morning, you got something to shout about him if your name is written down in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll tell you something else. When we are aware of the fact that now that we belong to Christ, we are His property. Oh yeah, we are His property. Talking to a young girl this past week, and you know, the devil's very real. And troubling this young girl. And I said to her, listen, you give your heart to Jesus. You give your life to the Son of God, and He don't have no claim on you no more. You become the property of Jesus Christ, defended by Him. You're not the property of Satan anymore. When you give your heart and life to Jesus, and you become the property of the Son of God. You've given yourself to Jesus. He becomes your defender, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, brother and sister, we got something to shout about Him. God has made us His personal property and declared and covenanted with us that He's going to defend us and take care of us, and we don't have no reason to be sad this morning. We got every reason to be glad in Jesus Christ our Lord. The world's got plenty to be sad about. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Oh, it's not hard to live a Christian life when you love Jesus. As Sister Kelly was testifying this morning, when you love Jesus, when you're in love with the Son of God, it's not hard to live a Christian life. In fact, we can say along with Jesus, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Hallelujah. It pleases me to please God. When I know that I've done the will of God in my life, it pleases me to know that I've pleased God. It's not hard to live a Christian life when you love the Lord. This is the love of God, John said in little John. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. No, 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 it's not grievous to keep the commandments of God when you love the Lord and you want to please Him. What's the delight of your life? To please God and to keep His commandments. We belong to Him. We've got a reason to rejoice. And I'll tell you something else. When we understand that our life is in the hands of God and that nothing happens to us by accident. Nothing happens to us by accident. Everything that comes in our life, Brother June, God is in control. God knows. He is in control. He never allows anything in our life that He knows we can't handle. And everything that He allows to happen to us, He said He would make all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, Paul said, we know that. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I may not be able to understand it. I may not be able to figure it out ahead of time. I may not be able to see beyond the veil of the moment. But I have the promise of God and the Word of God that He's going to make all things work together for my good to them that love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. I may be hurting. I may be in pain. I may be disappointed. I may have the weight of the world upon my shoulders. But I have this promise that God is in control. I know God's a working. I know God is for me. How do you know God's for you? Because He sent His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Brother, I'm telling you, God is for you. He loves you. He's already given His Son on the cross for you. We've got the comfort of knowing that God's in control in our life, and He's making all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. Even though your problems may be heavy and great this morning, and you cannot see how things are going to work out for your good, you have a promise from God you can hold on to in the dark hours of life, that God is in control and God is working all things for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to give it to you. It's not something you're going to have to conjure up. It's not something you're going to have to think positively about. You know, it's positive thinking business. It's something, you know, it seems like it's a do-it-yourself thing. It turns out sometimes to go like those do-it-yourself projects I've done. It don't work. Brother Mike, amen me on that one. I'd have to show Brother Mike some of my work. He'd see. He's really right. You can really mess up some of them do-it-yourself projects. And it's out of way. It's out of way. You know, when people take it on themselves, I'm gonna make myself happy. Hey, look, that's not what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus said, I want you to come to me. I'll give you joy. I'll give you my joy. If you'll come to me, I'll give you my joy. That's the inheritance of the people of God. Jesus said, I'll give you my joy. That ain't just positive thinking, brother. That's a gift from Jesus. Hallelujah. It's something that the world didn't give. It's something the world can't take away. Jesus said, I'll give you my joy. So it's not dependent on circumstances of life. It's not dependent on whether I've got a job or not there. It's not dependent on whether or not I'm sick or well, Sister Francis. It's dependent on whether or not I've got the gift from Jesus Christ. And he said, I'll give you my joy. You know, that joy is dependent on this. It's dependent on our living in the same attitude that Jesus did. It's His joy. The reason Jesus had that joy is He lived in harmony with His Father. And He said, I'm going to give you my joy, which is the joy of being in harmony with God. Living in harmony with the Lord. Living in obedience to Him. Paul talked about the joy of a conscience. A conscience in which he knew that he had done the will of God. I'm not quoting that exactly right. And I think it's Philippians 1:12. But he mentioned that his joy was dependent upon the fact that his conscience testified that he had pleased God. And you know, here's what destroys the joy in our lives. It's when we have failed to walk pleasing to God. When we no longer can, our conscience tells us, hey, look, you have not done the will of God. You have not prayed. You have not studied your Bible. You have not been kind to your wife, kind to your husband. You haven't been diligent on your job. You've not been faithful to the house of God. You've looked at things and done things you ought not to have done. When your conscience is accusing you, brother, the joy of the Lord dies in the heart of that person whose conscience is accusing them. Is that the right scripture? Yeah, it dies. But oh, when you can go in the presence of God and say, God, I'm sorry I failed you, but by the help of God, I'm going to live in obedience to you and to your word. God will give us the joy of the Lord in our heart. And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, brother, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, then this is the reason why we've got so many weak Christians, because we don't have joyful Christians. But when your heart is full of joy, you're happy to be a Christian, you're happy to live for Jesus, it pleases you to keep His commandments, you want to walk acceptable to Him. I'm telling you, brother, when that joy of the Lord is in your heart, it's the strength of the people of God to have the joy of the Lord in their soul. You got the joy of the Lord this morning? Did you come into this place with the joy of the Lord? Did you come up to the house of God, or did you come down from your place of prayer? Did you come to this place in harmony with God? Did you come to this place? You've lived this week in harmony with God. You've sought the face of God. You've tried your best by the help of the Lord to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You've kept your mind pure. You've kept your heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You've kept your heart. You've kept your mind. You've kept the avenues to your heart, your eyes, and your ears. You know, the avenues to your mind and heart, you've kept them clear. You haven't been listening to the wrong things and watching the wrong things and going to the wrong places. Hey, and you come to the house of God with a clear conscience to worship God, give praise to God because there's joy in your heart. You got the joy of the Lord? God says, I want to give it to you. Yeah, God says, I want to give it to you. Jesus said, I'm going to leave this with you. This, my joy, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to leave with you my joy. Brother and sister, this is what sets us apart. I'm telling you, this is what sets us apart. It's the joy of the Lord. Oh, yeah. If we're always defeated and depressed and downhearted, never have anything to rejoice about, we'll never affect the world for Christ until we get the joy of the Lord in our heart and life. I'm telling you, when we say, anybody here got a testimony for Jesus, we ought to have to sit down a half a dozen so somebody can be heard. Because of the joy of the Lord in our heart and soul. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. There ought to be something bubbling up on the inside of us. We've been in the presence of God. We've been feasting on the Word of God. We feel the strength of God in our soul. And there ought to be something bubbling up on the inside of us that makes us happy to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm happy to be a Christian this morning. Sister Judy, I want you to go to the piano. I don't want to trade places with nobody out there in the world. Nobody. Not Bill Gates. I wouldn't trade places with him for all the money he's got. No, no, no. I wouldn't trade places with President Bill Clinton. I mean, would you? He ain't the president, by the way. I wouldn't trade places with President George Bush, would you? I tell you what, to being a Christian is the greatest thing in all the world.
Yes, it is.
You hear me? I said being a Christian is the greatest thing in all of the world. It don't matter whether you've got any money or not. I said being a Christian is the greatest thing in all of the world. If you're saved, you ought to be happy this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll give you my joy. My joy. I'll put it in you. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad. So glad to be a Christian this morning. If you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life, God wants to give you the joy of the Lord in your life. He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain with you, and that your joy might be full. Now look, you can have joy and it not be full. God wants to perfect the joy of the Lord in you. Yeah, this is that sanctifying grace of God. Oh, yeah. God will perfect the joy in you. Fill your heart with joy. Make your life a joyful life. Oh, yeah. Brother Dewey, it blesses my heart when I come see you in the hospital and you're still rejoicing in the Lord on the hospital bed. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of joy God gives to us when nothing can take it away. Hallelujah. We're glad to be saved when we're sick. We're glad to be saved when we're well. We're glad to be saved on the mountaintop. We're glad to be saved in the valley. Glad and happy to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That is the life of the Christian. The joy of the Lord is offered to you. Now, listen. I know that, you know, there are physical reasons sometimes for depression and different things. I understand that. But a lot of times it's just because we have not been to the source of joy. And Jesus is the source of joy. And if you don't have the joy of the Lord this morning, Jesus wants you to have it. He said, I'm leaving this with you. I'm giving this to you. I want you to have the joy of the Lord in your life. Let's stand together. If your heart is broken this morning, you're living under a cloud of condemnation, you don't have the strength, spiritual strength you need because you don't have the joy in your life, these altars are open this morning. If you're lost, you don't have the joy of the Lord, Jesus will give you His joy. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you're living under condemnation, you haven't yet reach that place to where you're happy in the Lord, God will help you to get to that place where you are happy in the Lord. Is there anybody feels their need of God this morning? Feels their need of the joy of the Lord? The altars are open for you. Oh yes, Jesus offers it. I'll give it to you, he says. I'm leaving this with you, the joy of the Lord. Get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning because of the joy of